This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Kenny Wood and Igor Nemirovsky, and I'm really looking forward to talking with both of you about your soundtrack for Amoeba Battle, created by Grab Games. So welcome. It's great to have a chance to talk.
Also, we're glad to be here.
You know, it's such an interesting game, and it's actually kind of timely because it's microscopic and you play as an amoeba trying to kill a virus and an invader and an illness. So how long has the game been in development?
Oh, that's a great question. You might actually be surprised to know that the first iteration of this game was back in 2011.
Wow, I had no, you know, I saw that first track on your soundtrack on your SoundCloud page, and I couldn't believe that that was 9 years ago. That's amazing. So, what were sort of the iterations and the whole development process that happened during like those 9 years?
Well, the first iteration is actually not too different than the one that just got released. It basically, the only difference is it was missing the multiplayer battle mode. The campaign is basically the same. The major updates on it are just, you know, smoother mechanics and you know, more control options and just some better features in the new version, plus the battle mode, of course. So so we're really excited that it's that it kind of has a second life now.
Yeah, that's very cool. And so, Igor, how far into the process were you brought in to help collaborate with the music?
I actually was brought in from the very start. Kenny and I both had worked on the dev team's previous game, Divergent Shift. And so, yeah, when they started creating the concept for their follow-up game, they brought us in. We actually met them through a USC grad program that we had both attended, and we kind of hit it off. And so, yeah, I think we did a good job with their first game, and so they asked us back, and we were really happy to come back.
Yeah, that's so cool. So is that where you guys met then, in the USC program?
Yeah, in fact, it was working on that first title that Igor brought up, Divergent Shift, because Igor and I were actually, our curriculums were just 1 year apart. So he was a year ahead of me. And then the dev team needed an extra person to do some sound effects. So I just volunteered myself while I was still in school. And then we just kept rolling with it, and eventually my role expanded, and Igor and I basically kind of became this side by side gunner team for music and audio, and it's always been great working with him.
Yeah, what in particular makes you guys a good team, do you think?
I think we kind of complement one another's styles and skill sets. You know, I think our music sounds different enough that we kind of fill each other's sort of niches in a way, or missing niches. And then at the same time, I think we're both good at kind of meshing and sort of delving into other styles. So we can kind of meld into each other's workflow, but we can also sort of sound like ourselves. And I think that works pretty well. Kenny?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I was only going to add, Igor and I both also kind of have this sort of academic conservatory style training. So I think that's kind of where we share a lot of common ground, even though we're both coming from different places entirely. So that gives us our uniqueness too. So it's kind of cool that he and I can both be chameleons about things. And if we have to imitate each other, we can sort of kind of do that and get things to cross-pollinate and mesh in an effective way.
That's so cool. And I've heard that from other composers who collaborate too, like Marty O'Donnell and Mike Salvatore. And Marty, they both said, well, at this point, they finish each other's sentences, but they both said that, you know, one person will write something and then think, well, what would Marty do here? And so it gets to be this synthesis, and you really can't tell who's written what. So are you guys at that point too?
If we're not yet, we're getting there.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. I don't know if we're quite there yet at the finishing each other's sentences part, but I mean, I always love working with Kenny. And so, you know, I can see if a couple more projects down the line, I could see that happening for sure.
Yeah, that's really neat. Well, let's talk about how you got to the sound for the music, because what really struck me is that, here you are in this microscopic world with your tiny amoebas, and yet the music is a much larger scale than that. It's orchestral and it's like really sweeping and stuff. So, what were some of the discussions like with the dev team to get that final sound?
So, for the campaign mode, which was the first part that we had worked on, initially I actually imagined something that was more ambient and electronic and synthesizer based, and I actually started creating just a couple demos that way to send to the team. But then Kenny and I started getting artwork and story concepts, and it really felt more like, I don't know, it felt more cinematic and it felt more adventurous to me than what I was initially imagining when you hear things like microscopic and amoeba and so on. And then we started getting art for the different worlds, and I realized, oh, well, this could be an interesting opportunity to kind of introduce different soundscapes for each world. And Kenny and I both, I think, naturally have a bit of a cinematic style, so that just felt, if it kind of naturally evolved into that direction, and the dev team, liked what they were hearing, so we just kept going at it essentially.
Another thing that was happening all at the same time was while Igor started on the music, I was starting on the sound effects for the game. And similarly, in response to the artwork and things, the sound effects themselves were kind of more organic, and we were using like animal sound effects that were pitched up. And even though they have this very cute, bouncy quality, they're still these very natural sounding things. So I think Igor's approach was right to kind of match with those, and all the audio, music, and sound kind of grew together in this project. So for me, it adds to the cohesiveness of the whole thing.
Yeah, because the sound is really cohesive, and the way that and it must have been a real advantage to be the sound designer too, because then you could make things play nicely with the music. And that's an aspect that I'm just like learning about, because there's so much craft that goes into it to make sure that the sound and the music don't that they complement each other rather than competing with each other. So.
Definitely. Well, the big advantage is being able to go back and fix a sound effect if it's not working right.
Yeah, I bet. What are some of the, I don't know, the things that you think about with the music for an RTS game? Because, it's not the same as an open world sort of exploration game. Sometimes a player can take a really long time making a decision for which amoebas to use and how to marshal their forces for a battle and stuff. So I'm just wondering if your approach to music for an RTS would be different than for like an open world game.
Well, that's a good question. It I kind of will go back, always go back to my default, which is like if we can possibly see the game in action before we start and get a feel for the pacing and the environment, that is a bigger indicator of what kind of music it's going to need, as opposed to, you know, just focusing on the genre and what has worked for other franchises, because every game is unique, and I wouldn't imagine developers would want to say, yeah, our game is like this other game, so just make it like that. Yeah. I think, and that's sort of a difference between games and film, or at least a lot of commercial film, is, you know, like, games really want to have their own fingerprints on things and their unique experiences. I don't think I've ever met a developer that is so into just commercial success that they'll sacrifice any type of gameplay component just to get game sales or whatever.
What were some of the things that you did to make this soundtrack really unique? I mean, Kenny, I love the instrumentation that you have for your tracks that are on SoundCloud with the marimba and the tabla and all of that stuff. And so what were some of the other things that you added so that the soundtrack would have its own, I don't know, unique personality?
Well, real quick, I'll go through my list. it was a lot of percussion things, because, you know, we both had this core of the orchestra as our starting point, and then it was just kind of see what else you can drop in and get an interesting match to accompany what's going on. So yeah, tabla was a big one for me. Marimba on the battle tracks was also a big one. And then there's also like marching drumline in there. There's propane tanks and like big ethnic drums like sirdos and taikos and you know, just whatever I had. And you know, another thing is like, since we had kind of a blank slate to start with, it's kind of an opportunity to like look through your folders and look through your sample libraries at stuff you've never used before and see like, okay, let's open this one and see what sounds are in there. And sure enough, those are some of the things that ended up in Amoeba Battle.
Igor, what did you use for your part of the music?
So the campaign mode is largely split into four different worlds, and we were shown the artwork for each of the four worlds. So I kind of approached it in a, like, you know, each world will have its own sort of soundscape kind of mindset. And so the initial world, you know, was described as being this like kind of lush, you know, environment. And I imagined, you know, it's called the Mushroom Kingdom, and I imagined something that I knew, you know, the initial levels would be kind of also lighter in terms of difficulty. And so I wanted something that felt very organic and lush, but at the same time, kind of light and whimsical.
Thank you.
So that was sort of how I approached the early tracks. And then we had the Primordial Sea world, and so for that world, I wanted to use more synthesizers. So I brought in some synth elements, some synth rhythms, and it's still kind of in an organic way. And then I still wanted to use the orchestra there. So, you know, I brought in, I used a combination actually of sample orchestra and then occasionally some solo players to just for the melodic part of those tracks. Firelands, for example, I imagine something much more violent and turbulent. So I wanted brass and I wanted heavy percussion in those places. And that was kind of my approach, was I sort of imagined the worlds that these amoebas are inhabiting for each stage. And I wanted the music to kind of reflect those worlds and create the soundscape that fits the atmosphere.
Yeah. Was it a challenge to keep the music, keep the same identity with the music, so that you always knew it was music for Amoeba Battle, and yet change it for each of the areas? I mean, did you do that with themes, or I mean, and you mentioned orchestration too, but were there other challenges for keeping the music sounding cohesive over the whole game?
That was a bit of a challenge, and I think at one point I just kind of realized, you know what, this is. You know, the tracks I'm working on for the single player mode are all coming from, you know, one brain and one, you know what I mean? Like one, you know, I think there's a natural level of cohesion that comes from creating something at one time in one person's life. And so at one point I just kind of decided, all right, well, this is actually already sounding like it's coming from the same universe. It's four different worlds. Each one has their own identity, but I think they definitely feel like they're coming from the same place, though. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, actually, it does, because it's you writing all of the different things, and so you know Schubert always sounds like Schubert, no matter whether he's writing a piano sonata or a symphony. And so yeah,
right. So I didn't have like one theme that would like one motif that was spread between the four, but each one would have kind of its own. But then I think what I would do is I would make sure that like at least orchestrationally or synthestrationally, however you want to call it, they would kind of mesh together.
Well, did either one of you have any trouble going back and remembering how you worked on the music way back in 2011 and kind of update it and bring it forward to now? I mean, did you have to like tweak anything?
I certainly did because on the technical side of things, back on the original iteration, I was a Logic Pro user, and now I'm a Pro Tools user. So kind of updating software to achieve the same thing was a bit of a challenge, but I was able to salvage most of the information from the previous sessions and bring in new stuff to make it hipper and a little more polished. So yeah, there was some challenges in there, but you know, I think having come from the USC scoring program, Igor and I both have kind of this good sense of forward preservation. I don't know if that's a thing, but what I mean by that is, like, we sort of think down the road where if this material might get used at some point in the future, it's always a good idea to be able to come back to it and open it no matter how the technology changes, and we're basically prepared for that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's funny, what Kenny mentioned actually very much applied to me as well. So I a lot of the music for the campaign mode is intact as is, but I wanted to revisit it for this re-release just for the sake of, like, maybe having some, you know, online soundtrack release kinds of things and some remasters of some of the tracks. And just like Kenny, I was on Logic at the time, and I've been on Cubase now for a number of years, so I had to go through all those old Logic sessions, look and see what I did. In some cases, I'd be like, oh, why did I do it that way? Oh, I would do this very differently here. And so I would just tweak a couple things, but then you don't want to tweak too much either, because at the same time, this is kind of the heart of the game is already there with the established sound that it has. So yeah, it just as with Kenny, it was just a lot of it is just kind of going back, seeing how you did things, and maybe doing a few tweaks here and there, using the newer technology and so on.
Yeah, because, you know, for a lot of people who aren't in technology, 9 years doesn't seem that long ago. But for anybody who works in audio, it's like almost a lifetime ago.
Yeah. So.
Are you planning to have a soundtrack release?
We've discussed it briefly here and there. And at the moment, there's no formal plan, but we are sort of like looking to see what's possible. What do we need to do to make it a thing? And so if it does come up, we will let everybody know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'd be excited to have one, just because there's definitely a lot of, like, unreleased material and that sort of thing that would be a lot of fun, like little nuggets to throw into a soundtrack like that.
Well, and also, you know, there's such a demand for game soundtracks that people listen to when they're not even playing the game, and these cues especially, I think, would be great to accompany, you know, whatever people might be doing. So yeah, that'd be awesome if there was a soundtrack release.
Cool. Thank you. That means a lot.
So what were some of the things that really made this a fun project for you guys?
Oh gosh. Well, for me, it was definitely not having any limitations placed on us based on, like, other games for reference and stuff. They did point to other things from, like, Warcraft and similar style games, but we were never handcuffed into saying, do it exactly like this. So that's always a blessing.
Yeah, there weren't really any, like, firm and fast temp tracks or reference tracks. So that's, yeah.
Right. And the sound effects were, because we also did the sound effects too. So those were a blast to work on. Because it gave the amoebas, you know, their own character, and each one has their own kind of attitude and flair. So it's just like these little things that sort of make you crack a smile as you're working, and those add up when you get towards the end of the project.
Thank you. Igor, what about you? What did you really enjoy about it?
I mean, for me, it's always about the team that you're working with. So I really loved the team. We had all gone to USC at the time, and so I knew the people from that, and they were a lot of fun to work with. And there was never any kind of hand-holding or what's that phrase, like breathing over your shoulder as you're writing. Like it felt very freeing. It felt very relaxed and very much like, okay, well, try this out. Here's the artwork. Take a look at this. Try some concepts. Shoot them over to us, and we'll take a listen, and we'll let how it's working, how it's gelling, and so on. It was a lot of back and forth.
Wow, that's so great. Was there ever a point where it was a bit of a scramble to finish the music so the game could ship, or did you have everything, pretty well in hand?
Musically, we had things already pretty much, ready long before shipping. I think sound effects, because we kind of went into the sounds like a little bit later, and Kenny did a lot of sound effects. Kenny, was there like a scramble or?
I'm trying to think, like early on, definitely no. I think there might have been a bit of a scramble for 2011 GDC. Maybe,
yeah,
and
that was,
I think that was a sound effect scramble. It wasn't a music thing, because music was pretty set from very early on. We made little tweaks as time went on, but there are so many sound effects assets in the game that there was some catching up we had to do on those.
What were some of the things that you learned along the way that maybe you hadn't thought about before that helped you, make this a unique soundtrack, but then also things that you might be able to carry into your next project?
Okay, I'll go for it. for me, it definitely just kind of being fearless and not being afraid to just colorize everything and sort of put your own personal icing on all the cake that you're exporting with this stuff. Like I think like this kind of style of this game like suits me really well, or at least it makes me happy to work on stuff like this, as opposed to the garden variety TVQ or whatever else. So I'm always looking for ways to take these kinds of adventurous risk-taking, you could call it, and incorporate that into all my music in some way or another. So some things are more successful than others, but I'm always looking for places where I can inject these things.
Oh, that's so cool. Igor, what about you?
For me, I mean, every project is just a huge learning experience, and I suspect it'll be like this for decades to come for me anyway. I mean, I imagine being on my deathbed writing a piece of music and going, oh crap, oh that's where that, so in this, this was actually simultaneously an early project for me and a later project for me, so it's kind of unique in that way. And one thing I definitely learned on the earlier side was to throw away expectations, because in two parts. One is, you get early artwork, early concept writings, and instantly you have a universe in your head. And this, by the way, applies to film and TV as well. Like, I almost want to tell other composers, don't ever read a script. wait to see it. I'll preface by saying I love early sketching, and I love writing early in the process. But you also end up throwing away a lot. And so that's one thing. And then on the other hand, when I say, throw expectations out the window, I also mean, often you are writing music almost kind of like in your own little bubble. And you have this idea of what it's going to sound like. And then you open it up in game and you hear it and you're realizing, oh, wow. Okay, wow. Those levels are really wrong. Those levels are really soft. Or, oh, my God, that suddenly jumps out of nowhere and it gets really loud. Well, how did that happen? And what is that going to do to the player? And you don't realize of any of these things until you see it. And I suspect the more you work in a particular medium, the more you begin to kind of predict you know, that you're going to be experiencing that again and again. So maybe next time around you'll write something that has more even dynamic information, you know, like even dynamic ranges, or maybe you'll think about, you know, not switching keys constantly, because maybe there's a jingle that's going to appear anywhere in the middle of your loop, and maybe it's in a particular key, or maybe you'll realize, oh, okay, well, you know, this track might actually be brought down a lot softer because the sound effects are going to have to do this and that, or, you know, this track might just end in the middle of it, and you might not ever even hear the ending because the player just might get through this level really fast. Like, there's so many expectations that I feel can completely go out the window as soon as you start working on a project. And that's what I mean when I say, like, everything is a learning process.
Well, and I guess it really helps to not be, like, really, you know, hanging onto a piece of music or a cue too tightly.
Exactly.
Because it can really change during the whole process.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing is sacred.
Yeah. Well, we've covered a lot here, but is there anything that I missed that you guys would like people to know about?
One thing is, for those who have the game and are playing, thank you. And there's also some special things out there for them. You can actually play with the game's developers Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, at least for these first couple of weeks. And I'm also planning to make myself available to get on there and play with everyone too. So yeah, if anyone's able to jump in, let's battle.
That's really cool. Plus, you know, that way we can deal with, you know, social distancing and isolation, but still be part of a community. So that's a really cool thing. Yeah. So, Igor, anything that I missed that you wanted people to know about?
No. I think it's a really fun game, and I think people are going to love it. I think if you're going to play, now's the time. You know, this is the Netflix binging video game playing time. I mean, you know, it's a horrible time in our country, but at the same time, I mean, we need things that bring levity, and so hopefully this will help some people.
I was just gonna say it's a great time for art, so take advantage and enjoy as much as you can.
Yeah, well, thank you both so much. It's been really, really fun to talk about your music for Amoeba Battle.
Cool.
Likewise. Thanks for having us, Kate.